few questions. Yeah, you run a unit called Imago.
Yeah.
And I recently saw that you built a 11.5, close to 12 lakh house with how many rooms? It was a couple of stories tall?
Yeah, it was G plus one. It's 100 square meters, almost exactly built up. And it's a two-bedroom apartment with one bath, one toilet, and the ground floor is living, kitchen, dining with a water body. So it's one big, long, open space.
And this is located somewhere in New Creation?
Or? Yeah, just behind New Creation on the canyon.
New Creation Field?
No, not New Creation Field. So when you go to Purity Guest House, then you take that canyon almost down at New Creation. On the right side, there's a small storeroom on your right. You'll come across and then it's behind that.
So what were the materials you used? And as you know, I'm interested in this because Oroville has not been cheap. There is a housing crisis. Could this be one of the answers?
We think so. We've already, after this, we got so encouraged by what we did. Okay, first I'll give you a little introduction on why we managed to achieve this 11.5 lakh house. Mostly it's because of cost cutting and tightening with the contractor through the building process, no? So the bill of quantity was made up front with every detail inside, and the costs were agreed upon before. So the contractor had absolutely no wiggle room. He had to give us running account bills every month and so on.
What about if the price of material suddenly went up?
Well, we had a fixed contract with him. So his percentage was, the percentage of fixed contract normally works such that the material, if it's within a normal inflation, it gets covered up in that, no? Because not all materials go up at the same time. So some things go down, some things go up, and he manages within. But if there's really a problem and this year cement has gone up by 200% for some unknown, unforeseen reason, then it has to reflect in the building cost. But luckily in this case, that was not the case. And the building took us 9 months to complete. So that was also not a time where inflation really happens that much. And
materials?
So materials, what happened was we were approached by this person who came and said, I have 6 lakhs to build a house and this is my, I need 100 square meters and this. So we said, let's not say no, because that was our instinct, not to say no. Let's try. Let's see what we can do. So we did something close to 28 different proposals with different stuff and metal and even temporary bamboo and bricks and concrete, and we did bill of quantity for every option. In the end, we realized that a standard tropical construction with bricks and an oxide floor and a tiled roof was the cheapest way to build. This was just a question of numbers. After trying all permutations and combinations, even trying different foundations, no, continuous footings or isolated footings, or we realized that a traditional frame structure with isolated footings, a structure well designed, not over designed, with intermittent brickwork, nice large openings with overhangs, and the first floor has a tiled roof. Actually, I'll show you the model. So what happens is on the ground floor, this is the kitchen, which is open to a kind of dining living space, which feels more open and bigger than it is because of this connection, no? Visually, it's all connected. There's a mesh wall here, like this. And the first floor sits more or less simply like that. There's a corridor, there's one room here with a bathroom in the middle. On the first floor, the overhang is bigger. And in these cutouts, we have these sloped roofs sitting like that. So actually, when you look at it from the outside, you don't see those sloped roof at all. No,
it's, and the hot air and all is
coming out from the top.
Out of this.
Exactly. And so what we used is basically the frame is concrete, minimally designed. And in a lot of places where, so we've used CSEB in this building. We worked with Mohan from Auto Creation. He actually has a brick making workshop. So CSEB has the property that it's a lot less porous than a regular brick. No, it's very dense because it's compressed. So the one experiment we've made in Rohit's house is that a lot of the external walls are also single brick walls. Okay, which basically means that no water percolates because the bricks are pretty airtight. And in the worst case, he can put a layer of psychosil outside, which is a clear waterproof paint. And that should basically, so we have saved almost half the amount for the brickwork just by doing that, no?
By using the compressed mud bricks and by painting it with this
Cycosil. And by reducing the thickness of the wall, instead of making it 23 where they are not load-bearing walls, they are just partitioned from the outside.
So these are compressed small-sized bricks, yeah. Not the giant ones that
not
we
the square ones like
smart.
That. They're thin like that, no?
Yeah.
So that's one cost-cutting factor.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is that this is not a full concrete slab. So we used only the concrete slab for framing and shading.
Mm-hmm.
And in between, they're all cutouts. So here we have precast beams and stone flooring, like in a traditional Madras terrace house.
Mm.
And the same here, because we don't have large quantities of concrete. This is all cutout.
Mm. Where is the tile? I don't see the spot where the tiles are. These are tiles.
These are the tiles.
Okay, so it's a small area, actually. It's only over the small cutouts of the roof that the tile lies.
Exactly. So what the tiles help us to do is to reduce the cost of concrete, because the cubic meter of concrete is quite high. So initially we had proposed precast concrete beams here, which are actually quite cheap.
Yep.
Bison board, 8mm, and then tiles on purlins.
Yep.
But Mohan very nicely at the end of the project said that he doesn't mind doing it with wood because he has a bit of room to play and that he won't increase the cost. So we ended up doing it with wood. So the client got lucky and it looks really nice.
What about the bison board or insulation?
It's still there. Above the wooden rafters, we have the bison board. Then we have the purlins on which the tiles are hung, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the hot air goes out. I've stood here in the middle of the day, in the late afternoon. These two rooms are actually quite nice, no?
Mm.
Oh, and one more word about the random rubble walls. You see compound walls everywhere. In the villages, in Kodaikanal, even here in Nide and Chavadi, they're all made with random rubble. If they were really that expensive as we think they are, they wouldn't do it with random rubble.
Well, tell me, what is random rubble?
Okay, so random rubble is stones, granite boulders. They come in sort of squarish cubic shapes, or they're rounded off. They come in two different. So the rounded off ones are a bit more expensive than the crude rectangular cubic ones.
This is what you see on the side of roads to help build up the roads. Is that what we're talking about?
That, and also when you go down the Oro Orcha road, if you look on your right side, all the compound walls on that side is made up of random rubble.
Okay.
Different styles of random rubble. And if we can make compound walls with them, and those guys are not millionaires, we can definitely build houses with them. They're great because they have great thermal insulation capacities. They have a 24-hour heat transfer. So not like bricks which have sort of 12-hour, no? So if it gets heated during the day, at night, it radiates heat inside.
Mm.
But a stone wall, a granite stone wall of that much thickness, 30 or 35, doesn't do that, basically.
Okay.
So it's a lot of advantages, and I would encourage people to use them.
Super.
Yeah.
So are people like your phone ringing off the hook and people knocking on your door, or has Lavanya showed interest? What's happening now?
Well, Lavanya, see, it doesn't know yet because I don't think we've personally told them that we've managed this. But what we have done is we've created now three prototypes for the same kind of house. And we're in the process of doing bill of quantity for that. So instead of just having this one type of house with the corridor and two bedrooms, we have one with the courtyard in between, one with the courtyard on the side, and so on. So, and we are just proposed, we've just finished in our computers a proposal of a collective housing of six of these units. So if we can, 11.5 lakhs will be tight for the next time. But even if it's 13, it's still low cost compared to today's rate of construction.
What does it come out to per square foot?
This one came out to 11,500.
Excellent.
And it's a paka house. There's no temporary materials in it. But of course, there are some compromises Rohit had to make. Ground floor, side flooring, you know, standard grey oxide flooring. The minute you add color, the cost goes up. The first floor was precast beams and stone, so if his wife is doing Bharatnatyam on the first floor, he probably hears it on the ground floor. Luckily, she doesn't. And then he also has to live with just mesh on his openings. No glass windows for the moment. But these are all the things he can upgrade later.
Fantastic.
So that's it. So let's see if we have the energy and time in the next few months.
That's really wonderful. And I really admire the fact that you took this challenge and have actually succeeded in making something. Let's see how it holds up, and I hope you get a lot more work in the future.
Yeah. Now, I think we're going to lay off low-cost housing for at least a few months, because for us, this was R&D, no? We didn't charge a fee on this project. We couldn't, if we wanted to keep it in the budget. So now we're just recovering from that and making money from other projects. But this is definitely a good prototype for Auroville.
But now that all the hard work
is
already done, it should theoretically be...
The prototype is possible. The site work is the hard part. Because to actually make sure that the building is constructed sound and according to plans, which is actually, it needs to be, if you want to achieve some sort of quality of space, we have to be on site all the time. For this project, for example, we did 2-3 times a week for 9 months. We were really, like, you know, with Mohan there, like, working, no? So for us to do that for 6 units is going to take a lot of energy. So if we are prepared to do that for very little or no money at all, we need to have the space and time for that. So we're just trying to find
a
little
cushion. Could you imagine like a small building group coming together to help overseas sites, to help bring costs down, to assist you as a, you know, like everybody working as a team with workers and contractors and overseers in
that
capacity?
I think that's a great idea, yeah. We need to put together a group of people with some sort of technical knowledge that can take the final detailed drawings and can act as a bridge between the architects and the site. No, it would be great to have that.
Let's find that. Maybe that would help the architects. That would reduce, also change the mindset that we all have now, that we all have to try and charge each other and survive on our own. And maybe it'll take the step into the next direction.
It's true.
Social building.
It's true.
On all levels, physically and...
It's true. Except that in Auroville right now, I don't know if we have that technical skill necessary. But if we already have a core group, let's say, of people who are willing to guide and train younger people, we could hire for the moment fresh engineers.
But there are so many young future school children that go out and have formations in building and construction and site management. None of them are, all of them are all managing on their own little businesses and all, but a lot of people have gone out and joined the Compagnon programs and stuff
okay.
like that. So there are people of the younger generation that do have skills, but there isn't a real social sort of, so everybody's sort of left to try and make money.
Mm-hmm. Or they form their own little units and, you know, try to make it.
But much more exciting would be having an Auroville building team.
It's true. Let's try and make it happen. I would be really interested to be part of it. I was telling Wazo the other day that we want to put up an Imago service branch in the service area. How interesting would that be? You know, this office is making commercial projects and making money on the outside, and it could somehow support and sustain a service architecture office for Auroville. Which I think it needs to be a group of people that can come together and that want to really pull in the resources together. Because, I mean, going into, again, an economic discussion, the biggest fear of people is that they will be forced to live on a maintenance. This fear of maintenance is there with many people, no? So when they have the autonomy of their own units, somehow they have a bit more freedom, no? So, but if we can somehow resolve that and take out this stringent, strict, like, communist approach to maintenance, then maybe we have more people coming and opening and offering their services, no? Yeah, and also for Westerners, it's a big problem because travel is somehow part of their lives right now. We cannot just tell them, don't go visit your family, or if your mom is sick, you can't go to Germany, or whatever. No, it's ridiculous. If we can even find a solution to that collectively, because a lot of this money-making mentality is for, what if I need to go to Germany next year?
Absolutely.
I have a family of 4 and I have to pay for all of their tickets and it's going to cost me 2 lakhs, you know. So I don't know how to bring about all these changes, but we can start really small.
I think it's wonderful, and I will definitely look. You have a website, I suppose?
Yeah, imagoauroville.com. That's
okay.
The website.
We'll look at it, and let's plant another seed for an Auroville building team.
Let's do that.